it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
News from the Nest here on this Victory Monday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. So on the other side of the glass, Ravens 41-17 over the Cleveland Browns, even their record at one win, one loss. Now get ready for the Lions a week from tonight down at M&T Bank Stadium. Battle of two highly regarded teams here in the National Football League 2025. But John Harbaugh, looking back at yesterday's win, talked after the victory about giving guys on defense more chances to play, some unfamiliar names making some plays yesterday.
Yeah, and, you know, those decisions are all should be looked at in a positive light. You know, we were going to want to give guys opportunities. TJ's been practicing well the last couple of weeks. Teddy's been practicing well, you know, but that's no slam on anybody else. I mean, Trent's been playing well. He played well in the game, too, so I don't have any negative to say about any of those guys.
Keon Martin had five tackles yesterday for the Ravens, too. But we'll start with Teddy Buchanan. Drafted this past May.
Yep.
Trenton Simpson's his third year in the league. And the dude was the starter going into last season and threw a lot of last year before he was finally benched. And then was the starter this year. But I guess, Vinny, the operative word there is was the starter. We're in week two, and he didn't even start yesterday.
Yeah, he played more special teams plays than he played defensive snaps. Played 21 special team snaps, 15 defensive plays, where Buchanan played 26 special team snaps and 60 defensive snaps. The biggest difference between the two is his instincts, you know, and I think that's why, you know, after 1 week, you know, the linebacker coach, he said, or Zach Orr, nah, forget it. You know, whereas last year it took about 4 or 5 weeks. You know, he's getting less than out. This year, one game and then out. He just doesn't have the natural instincts on the inside position. That's his biggest problem. I mean, showed on the punt last week against Buffalo. You know, I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's natural instincts. No, he doesn't have them. He doesn't have them, and that's a problem. And Buchanan does. You know, Buchanan sees it on the inside much better and much quicker than Simpson does or did. You know, so, I mean, that's why Buchanan's in there. And, you know, Buchanan had, what, four tackles, something like that in the game?
He had six.
Six tackles, yeah. So, you know, he showed up and made some plays, and I just think he's more natural, and it's better fit for the defense because he knows where he's going and gets there much quicker.
Roquan Smith's a one-man gang right now.
Totally.
And he was awesome yesterday, but he's going to need some assistance. Is this going to get to the point where the Ravens might have to look outside the organization, at least for some help depth-wise inside?
I don't
that there's a, you know, a Mike Curtis out there waiting to be signed. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Bob, I don't think they'll go look outside until somebody got hurt. You know, if Buchanan got hurt, please not Roquan, but if Roquan, you're not going to replace Roquan.
Nope.
I mean, you know, so that's the thing. I don't think they go look elsewhere. I mean, just like they hadn't with the pass rusher either, Bob. I mean, they got Ajabo sitting there, and Ajabo is now going to have to play. So Simpson would be the guy that would go in. And we saw it in when they sat Roquan down for the last series or whatever, they had Simpson and Buchanan in there. You know, and that's what it would be if Roquan went down, and hopefully that never happens, because he's playing at probably defensive MVP type, you know. We saw two candidates in that game yesterday. One Garrett, one Roquan.
Now, John Harbaugh, you know, he talks about the defensive leaders on the team and also gives praise to Tylan Wallace in his performance.
You know, I'll tell you, it'd be a great question for Lamar, too, because I know he's a guy that Lamar trusts. He's a football player. He's a football player, and he does football things. He blocks people, catches passes when you throw it to him, turns punts, you know, catches, breaks tackles and runs for touchdowns. Right, Lamar? You remember that one? Zay? You know? Zay's guy. So, proud of these guys. And I'll tell you, these two guys, man, not just these two guys. I mean, guys like Roe and Kyle Hamilton and Kyle, all the guys. I can't mention them all. Ronnie. Guys that just led this week and just kept their poise and just locked in and said, let's have a great week of practice and get ready to go play a really tough football game.
Yeah, and the thing, you know, you talk about Tylan Wallace, you know, and they talked about it on the broadcast some. I mean, and I give Munkin a lot of credit. They attacked that nickel corner a lot, you know, whenever, because you didn't see many passes against Ward. Maybe there was one, because I remember Zay caught one and then made him miss a little bit. But otherwise, they were going after, I think it was, what, 26 or 29, whatever that nickel guy was. They were going after him a lot. And that's who Tez Walker beat on his touchdown, too. So that was the pigeon. That was, if you need a play, go after the pigeon.
News for the NASPD at 81.05.7 The Fan. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. We'll hear from him as the show progresses here. Let's get to Roquan Smith and talking about the obvious, the defense needing to get better from last week.
At the end of the day, it's only about the people that sit in our locker room, and we have the utmost respect for each and every person that we go to war with out there, all my guys, and from Zio at the top of the hymn. So it's more so about just being who we are for four quarters, and I felt like we showed that today, but still there was a lot of plays that we felt like we left out there. So there's room for improvement. Just got to get back in the lab, get better.
Yeah, I thought secondary, much more aggressive, played faster, created turnovers, got more hands on balls, and pass rush, still not there. Still not, and it was not a good front that they were playing against. It was a bad front that they were playing against. I thought they would get a lot more pressure. Win rates. The only guy that really was winning, I thought, was Van Ooy. You know, thought Matabike had a good job, did a good job inside. You know who did a good job inside, Bob, on the run stuff was Jenkins. You know, and he, because he's about 370, and he can handle the center and toss him and get off. Thought he did a good job stacking in there. And what we talk about last week, what I said was their offensive line doesn't knock anybody off the ball. And whose advantage of that? Roquan should have a bunch of tackles in this game because he's going to run free. And he did. He ran free. And they blitzed him a lot, too. They had him totally engaged in that game.
Looking a little bit to the pass rush against Detroit yesterday against the Bears. Jared Goff sacked. Zero.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He gets rid of that ball. He gets rid of the ball. And the Bears, who do they have? Swift? Is there pass rusher?
No, Swift is the running back who was only getting some garbage time stuff there. And Montez Sweat.
Sweat,
dude. Yeah.
Sweat. Yeah, Montez Sweat. So, yeah, I mean, the Ravens are going to have to put, they're going to have to put pressure on them. And I think it's going to be more about Bob and this one. It's going to be more about the Ravens' offense controlling it.
And last thing with Roquan Smith, Browns are doing a lot of popping off last week. So how did you block out the noise and just handle the business on the field?
At the end of the day, like I said earlier, it's only about the guys inside of that locker room and the guys that we're going to war with. So all the noise, honestly, I don't really hear it, nor do I care about others' opinions. It's more about the guys who I'm going to war with. That's who I care about opinions and how they actually feel and how we're going to go out and show exactly who we are. And we're going to do that week in and week out. Yeah, last week is in the past for a reason. Learn from the mistakes, did a lot of great things, but it's great to have your weaknesses revealed week one as opposed to later in the season. So got that sour taste out of our mouth, left a couple plays out there today, but it's just more so about being who we are for the rest of the season and not having any let-ups and playing four-quarter football.
Yeah, I'll bet you that would have been a tough film session after the Buffalo game because everybody's embarrassed, you know, and then you got to watch it Monday and Tuesday on ESPN and everything else. And then whether, you know, and you're off on Mondays and Tuesdays, wherever you're going, you know, people, what happened?
Yeah,
you know,
and the chatter wasn't only coming from Cleveland popping off a little bit. Their players, the media, us,
yeah,
the fans. I mean, the Ravens, how many? They were breaking out stats about how many times the Ravens have lost fourth quarter lead. So I would take that personally, too, if I was Roquan Smith
and Bob, when they had to answer questions after practice, wasn't about the Browns, was about the week before.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, it was. I'm sure they got tired of it.
When we come back, let's count some dough. Hopefully, with buy or sell. Talk about sports subjects of this Monday. There's two games tonight in the National Football League. We'll get to our picks coming up later in this hour. Got the AFC North report. If you want to join us, you can. 410-583-1057. You want to complain about something? Well, listen. It wasn't a perfect football game yesterday, but it's a win. They avoided the same sort of damage that happened to them last year against the Raiders in their home opener. American League East report coming up at 1:15. Orioles get swept at Toronto in Chicago, taking on the White Sox before the final homestand of the year comes up this weekend, starting with the Yankees, who are playing some really good baseball. And then Jared Dubin talks some NFL with him from CBSSports.com. Are we counting the Mike McDaniel getting fired thingy? Stick around for that.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.